You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the very, very first time tonight, and that's a good thing. I'm glad you're here, and I hope that you make a habit out of it, and I hope you come back night after night after night. And I think you will. Listen, for those of you who have been listening for quite some time, I hope you joined us last night. Were you with us last night? That was fun, wasn't it? We had the guests right here live in the studio, and I've done that just once before, and it really was nice. I enjoyed it, I liked it, and we had a good time. We had our drawing, so if you missed last night, then you wouldn't know about this, but we had our drawing, and our drawing was for the tapestry that was being given away by Expeditions TV. And, you know, I last night pronounced the name Leah. Westfall was the winner. I don't know if it's Leah or Lee Westfall. I don't know how she pronounces it. But anyway, she's the winner, and she gets that tapestry from Urco's Island. It's a hand-woven tapestry, and really, really nice, really beautiful. And so that'll be going to Leah. In the news today, NASA, you know, we talked about here on the show the proposals that were coming out, trying to influence the new administration here, the Obama administration, to cut NASA's budget or to ground NASA and not have them flying in space, but focusing on other technological issues here on planet Earth. I did a couple of shows where we talked about that. And it's a good thing. You know, I said I think we ought to double their budget. I mean, look what you're talking about. You know, you're talking about 16, 17 billion dollars for the year. Now, that's not much. It is a lot. It is a lot of money. But when we've been throwing it away in chunks of trillions, you know, it's nothing. It's microscopic. And I said they ought to double their budget. And then the president should say to NASA, okay, let's quit playing around with this. Let's get after it. Let's go. And so the good news, they didn't get their budget doubled, but it did get increased. And the Obama administration has signed on to the whole concept of returning to the moon and then possibly on to Mars. So that's a good thing. And, you know, that's a step in the right direction. We ought to take a huge, huge step in that direction. If you really fund space exploration, there will be a ton of high-tech jobs available. And so if this is really all about let's get the economy started and get some jobs going, that's a good place to do it. couple of, well, I'm not going to have time. We're headed into the break. We come back, I'll share a couple of emails with you. It's Open Line Live tonight. I brought some things to the table. I hope you have some things to bring to the table as well. We'll be back right after this. Right, welcome back. I said I would share with you a couple of emails that I got, and I shall do so. You know, we have this Gods in the Garden seminar coming up. And look, I know there are some people that are just absolutely not interested in any kind of ancient documents. There are some people who have their head in the sand and won't examine any evidence outside of what they already have decided to believe. One of the things is, you know, well, they think the Bible's a holy book, and it says what the pastor told them it says. Okay, that's fine. I'm not on a crusade to destroy anybody's faith. I'm not on a crusade to destroy anybody's church. I'm not anti-church. I'm not anti-Christian or anti-Bible. What I am is anti-ignorance, and that's what the seminar is about. The seminar is about what do those words actually say, because it doesn't say what you've been told it says. It just doesn't say it. But that's what the seminar is about. It takes you through what it actually says. You'll see it for yourself. But it's going to be a live seminar. And I've explained several times on the show, and I put it in the K-Files e-zine, how that works. But I've got a couple of emails about it. So I don't know, maybe either they didn't get their K-Files e-zine, or they're not subscribed to it, or they didn't hear the show that night, but they're valid questions. So let me answer these. Dear Mr. Smith, will your seminar be live? Because I do not understand how that would work on my computer. Would I have to install some special program? That's from Daryl in the USA, in Massachusetts. No. If your computer is capable right now of watching me, if you're watching me right now, that's how it works. The only difference will be that you have to have a password on the day and time of the seminar. When you click to watch, it's going to pop up a little box and ask you for a password. It won't just start playing. It's going to ask you for a password. And if you're registered for the seminar, you will have received the password. We'll email it to you. And then you put the password in, and then you just watch like you do right now. So just for the seminar, we'll have that feature turned on where you have to have the password. No special programs, Daryl. This one from Hong Kong, from Maurice, and it says, will the seminar be on DVD later? I will not be able to watch it live because of the time difference. Yeah, again, I put this in the K-Files e-zine. So if you're not subscribed to the K-Files e-zine, be sure that you do subscribe. It's free. And a lot of this information is in there. But here's the answer. We are going to attempt to videotape. It's not actually going on tape. It's being captured into the computer, just like our shows are. We're actually going to try and do that. It should work. But I have to tell you that it depends upon if everything works right for us to have video that we can put on DVDs then, okay? That's what it will depend upon. And so, do I think we'll have it? Yes, I think so. Am I absolutely sure? No, because technology is weird stuff, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Our plan is that we will have DVDs of this available later. But it's not going to be immediately afterward because they have to be edited. And that takes time. There has to be some production time in it. And then we have to burn it onto DVDs. And then we have to, after we have the master copies, we have to have a bunch of other copies made. So will we? Yes, probably. That's the answer. Okay. This is Open Line Live tonight, and we'll talk about whatever is on your mind, as long as it isn't politics. Let me kick this ball off. Let me get the game started. You know, I don't. Maybe I'm just getting old. Maybe that's the deal. I am, but I mean, you know, maybe that's what this is all about. I'm reading an article here today. Pardon me. And this article is about a UFO sighting. It's in Texas. It's in Hunt County. And I'm reading this and I'm saying, Hunt County, where is... I grew up in Texas, as if you can't tell by my accent. I grew up in Texas. A wonderful place. Absolutely great place. Texas is just wonderful. But I'm reading this article and about this UFO sighting, and it's a pretty good one. I'll share it with you in a moment. And I keep reading here about Hunt County. And I'm sitting around thinking, you know, I should know where Hunt County... What is it about Hunt County? There's something about Hunt County. I can't figure this out. There's something that happened there, or... I don't know. It seems like way back in the... back of my mind, there's something about Hunt County. So I went on the internet and pulled up a map of the counties of Texas and found Hunt County. I used to live there. I lived in a little tiny place called Cache, Texas. It's in Hunt County, 10 miles south of Greenville, Texas, and Greenville is the county seat. I guess I'm just getting old. That's what it is. Got old brain cells here, folks. Anyway, Texas has been, sort of a hot spot for UFOs over the past several months. And, really over the past year and a half. Of course, the big story that came out of Texas was the Stephenville, Texas story. And, the various several sightings they've had there. And just a few weeks ago, they had another sighting at Stephenville. Well, this one happened over the weekend. Now, Stephenville, let me see if I can get this right. Stephenville is just west and a little bit south of Fort Worth, Texas. Fort Worth, Texas is just due west of Dallas, Texas. Hunt County is almost due east of Dallas. It's about a 45-minute to an hour drive east of Dallas. All right? So over the weekend, they had a UFO sighting. The sheriff there is Randy Meeks, and I don't think I knew Randy Meeks, but he's the sheriff. And he said his office received the first call about this object at 9:20 p.m. Saturday from a woman that lives, and it describes, it wouldn't mean anything to you if I give you the road number, but she lives in Hunt County. And she said that this thing was hovering above her house, and according to Meeks, it was very, very bright, and then it went dim, and then it went bright again. This witness said there was no sound from it like you would have from a jet or a helicopter. And the sheriff said, and here's a quote, "Three of my officers also saw a bright light, including the deputy who first responded to the sighting." The officer who got the call was pretty close to Campbell, Texas. So those of you who live in East Texas know where Campbell, Texas is. It's really very near Greenville. So anyway, later in the night, well, the sheriff said that he checked with L3 Communications Integrated Systems, a local defense contractor that is in charge of operating the municipal airport in Greenville. It's called Majors Field. And according to the sheriff, they said they didn't have anything at all in the air that night. So later in the evening, this same object, or one matching the same description, was seen above the Colony. Okay, now the Colony, if you go back to Dallas, remember that to the east of Dallas is Hunt County. Just to the north of Dallas is Denton, Texas. And between Dallas and Denton, there is a very large subdivision called the Colony. It's kind of almost its own town. Well, it may be its own town now, for all I know. But way, way back in prehistoric times, when I was growing up and living in the Dallas area, I remember when they built the Colony. And that means that it would have traveled, let's see, it would have traveled from the east of Dallas. And on your screen, it looks like I've got it backwards, so let's do this. On your screen, it's correct now. So from the east of Dallas, it traveled up over the north section between Dallas and Denton. So it was traveling in a northwesterly flight pattern. We don't have any more information on that right now, but we will keep our eyes and ears open. When I say we, I'm talking about me and my producer, Bob Brady, whom some of you had the opportunity to see one night when I accidentally captured him, actually surreptitiously captured him on camera. He is very, very camera shy. Okay, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, you know, we seem to forget the people that work behind the scenes. I'd like to give a hello to the fellas that are behind the scenes there. You guys do also do great work on the Kevin Smith Show.
That is a fact. That is a fact. I do a lot of it myself, but I do have some help now. A little.
Great.
A little. Bob is not much help.
Well, you know, I hate to, what I want to talk about, I hate to be very blunt, but Glenn Beck, I have to say, is a coward.
Okay, well, let's start off by saying this is your opinion of Glenn Beck.
Yes, it is.
All right, now, are you going to be attacking Glenn Beck beyond saying that, or are you going to tell us why you think he's a coward?
Well, I think he might have been told not to talk about a certain issue that he had promised to talk about, and that was about the FEMA camp issue. He was actually going to come up with information, but he tells his viewers that he doesn't have enough information on them, yet there's plenty of information available on these camps. We spoke about the camps a couple weeks ago, if I recall.
Yeah, well, look, here's the deal, and I don't watch Glenn Beck. I don't have time to watch much television at all. I am familiar with him, and that's about all I can say. But here's the deal. He is on Fox Network now. And if Glenn Beck were to go on the air without nailing down absolutely everything he's going to say about these FEMA camps, you can bet the same thing would happen to him that happened to Dan Rather.
Oh, yeah.
And there's nobody in the broadcasting business who is not very sensitive to the possibility of being ratherized.
Mm-hmm. And speaking on the camps, though, something in your neck of the woods, actually. Are you anywhere near Blackwater or Sacaton, Arizona?
No.
By the Gila River, yeah, apparently there's...
That's the Gila River.
The Gila River, sorry.
But out here we say Gila. Because it's Spanish.
Oh, yeah, Gila River, okay.
Yeah, Gila River.
Yeah, there's a soft G sound.
Mm-hmm. And that's just a dry riverbed. There's no water in it.
Yeah, that's what the article is saying here. Apparently, overnight there's this huge, what looks like a huge FEMA facility that popped up overnight in the Arizona desert. This one is even bigger than the one in Alaska, apparently.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah,
I'm not even sure where Blackwater are. What was the other town?
Sacaton.
Yeah, I'm not even sure where those are. But they're not in, as far as I know, they're not in Maricopa County. And Maricopa County is where Phoenix is. And where I happen to be seated right now. And but I'm not really sure where those would be.
Yeah, it's a small article. I've got it on from Infowars.com, but it was actually originally shown on the Coast to Coast website.
Mm-hmm.
That over the past 5 months, the compound had taken shape in the central Arizona desert, in the middle of nowhere. Of course, the towns I just mentioned, and it looks to be about a quarter mile long and 8 miles wide. It's got the razor wire. It looks like a prison camp. It's exactly what it is, and this thing's even bigger than the one in Alaska. Now I know that they're getting ready for civil unrest. They're somewhat expecting it this summer, apparently, according to the news reports I've been getting. But boy, this one is huge.
Well, yeah. Here in Arizona, we also have to, Mexico is finally now trying to do something about these drug wars along the border, in their border towns, on their side of the border. And, the mayor of Juarez is now living in El Paso
wow.
because he'll be killed if he goes back. The police chief in Juarez was told, if you don't quit by a certain date, we're going to kill you and we're going to kill your family. And he quit. So that's going on right here at our door.
And
there's always the possibility that some of that could spill across the border. And you could really have some real problems here, in Arizona and Texas, and New Mexico, if that starts squirting across the border.
Yeah, that can be a mess indeed. No, because Gerald Celente, I don't know, I'm sure you've heard of him before, Gerald Celente, trans forecaster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's been predicting that there's going to be some stuff happening, and that guy's never been wrong. So,
well, it might be. I think the whole world is looking for a fight.
Oh boy, and that gets into the realm of politics, which we don't want to venture into.
Well, there's a difference between politics and issues, and the issue is that humans are crazy as hell.
I have to agree with you. I know. Well, you know, and also another quote I like to make is from Terry Goodkind, the author Terry Goodkind. He says, "People will believe lies either because they don't want to know the truth or because they don't know the truth." And I think that's more true today than anything else, because people sometimes they just don't want to see things for what they are and want to cling to their belief systems, even when the truth and the facts are staring at them right in the face.
Have you seen the picture that I show sometimes of me wearing a Howard Stern wig and standing in flames?
Yeah.
Okay. The reason that picture was done, it was totally a promotional piece, and the reason that picture was done was when word got out that I was publishing Gods in the Garden, and it wasn't even published yet. Word got out, people started sending me emails by the basketful telling me to go to hell. So I just decided to go ahead and take the tour. Hey, we're into a break, man. Thanks for the call.
All right, have a good night, Kev.
All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's Open Line Live tonight, and I guess, it might be helpful for some of you if I put the telephone number on the screen and if I announced it. The telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. We have a caller on hold, and we'll get to you in just a moment, caller. Let me quickly announce, last night while we were doing the show, during one of the breaks, Jeff Vance, who was one of our guests last night, asked me, he said, you know, why don't you ever play any country music? And so I said, okay, well, we'll play some. So tonight, all of the music is country music. Independent artists, great music. And you can find it at garageband.com or at music.podshow.com. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, I was just calling because I think that you might think I possibly have my head in the sand, but I think the one thing that you've taught us most is if we think that we have something, not to say 100%, but go ahead and maybe believe in yourself a little bit as it having a possibility.
Sure.
Now, I don't want you to get mad, but, you know, the show's about controversy anyways.
Absolutely. Let's controvert.
I believe evolution can make the human, and I have hundreds of reasons, and the only reason that the other side has that we can't make a human from evolution is the genomes.
There's no evidence that it ever happened.
What's that?
I said, plus, there's no evidence, not a shred, that it ever happened. There's no trans species.
I know why. Okay, because there were billions of different species mm-hmm. that we don't have evidence of today that existed. Millions upon millions of years is something that can't be summed up in the last 20,000 years of where we offshooted from Homo erectus or whatever it was. They found other different skulls that are actually part human and part monkey, like Lucy, and other things where they have smaller bones, smaller mandibles on the bottom, Neanderthal. And so there were all these different things, and I believe that the smartest one made it, and for millions of years, we just never uncovered all of the fossils uncovered less than 1% of all the fossils in the history of the Earth.
You make a valid point.
And, Thank you very much. I was scared to say it.
Well, never be scared to express your views on this show.
Sure.
Believe me. But you make a valid point. You know, we don't have all of the evidence. But
yeah.
See, that's why I say that Darwinism is a faith, just like creationism is a faith.
It's a faith, but it is a pretty logical one if you look at the puzzle of things evolving. Because I just saw a show last night, and they're uncovering within these piles of flat rock dinosaurs with four wings, other different things. We're talking real pressed feathers on these things. And there's a big debate over whether dinosaur or birds came from dinosaurs or lizards or whatever. I've had hundreds of thousands of birds, it seems like, or hundreds of them, you know, and they look like little dinosaurs to me sometimes, especially when they're babies making those little sounds and stuff. But
I'll tell you, especially if you look at an ostrich.
Uh-huh.
Now, an ostrich, if you can imagine the thing without any feathers at all, looks pretty much like a raptor.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And they have pretty much the same temperament as a raptor, too.
Well, I got some real good ones, too. Listen to this, because I've picked off little things and stuff that nobody seems to mention. When they're looking for links, they're saying that there's a missing link. They're really, in some way, physically, there's no missing link, because we have 97% on a chimpanzee and 98% on a pig, where the DNA is the same, which means they are possibly extremely linked. And I think the big debate is over whether genomes can mutate as rapid as they think to create something like a human. And the last I saw on some of the Discovery Channels was that you can take a single gene and put it upside down, which does happen randomly for some reason. You can take a single gene, put it upside down, and you could have a hairy person or a person with a tiny little head where the brain's not formed and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that when you take millions of years, maybe for millions of years we were just kind of dumb, and in the last 20,000, 30,000 years some serious things started changing. all the little species competed, and in the end, like on Malaysia or Indonesia, they're finding caves with like humans that are like 3 feet tall, which means I think it's pretty natural for a species to get as smart as someone like us.
Well, see, I don't have any problem.
People that are as dumb as monkeys.
I don't have any problem at all with the idea of evolution within a species. It's obvious that, for instance, when I go to Thailand, there are very few Thais that are my size, but they are human.
Not a lot of Thais as tall as you, Kev.
Yeah, well, and but they are human. Okay.
Oh, yeah, they're human.
I get back over here to the United States, and the whole NFL is populated with guys, you know, twice my size.
Kevin, but, I got news for you. I was pretty tall, being about 5'11 and a half to 6, and these kids nowadays are all pushing like 6'2 and 3, like a larger percentage. I'll go into a room nowadays and be like, wow, what happened? I'm looking kind of short today.
Yeah, yeah. But see, what I say about evolution as a scientific theory, it's not, let me back up. As being science, it isn't. As a theory, it is. And as a faith, it is. Okay? In order for us to be able to say that evolution is true, we would have to show at least one species that crossed into another. And we have no such evidence. That doesn't mean...
I think what happens is a species hits a certain point that you seem like... They'll say, hey, you know, these ravens have been flying for thousands of years in this trajectory, or even millions, probably more like thousands. And you take that raven, and he's been, you know, going as that certain species for so long that they kind of isolate themselves, and then from then on and stuff, you could have tons of little mutations and stuff, because...
We're still talking about could.
What time can do. I mean, millions of years, I don't believe that we can really perceive that, Kevin.
Yeah, you're still dealing with it could be. And that's the point.
It's all could.
Yeah.
We never really know what happens. I mean,
and see, that's the point.
A little alien gene for that last jump. It could have been some random X mutation attaching to make our heads bigger. Because there are people that are born with tails. You know, there are people that are born with small heads due to one little gene off and stuff like that. And so,
let me ask you. Okay,
it could be a possibility of a lot of things, or we could have just been watched, and they could have let us evolve to this point, and maybe now interacted a lot more.
All right, but take a breath and let me ask you to consider something.
Sure.
What would you think would be the probability? Just assign a number. You know, like one in how many? Million, billion, jillion, trillion, but of one cell evolving continually upward. It starts out as one cell, and evolution takes place until you get to a human, one human. It'd be like one in a gazillion, wouldn't it?
Well, God, to tell you the truth, I just can't fathom something like that.
Okay, now hang on.
I really don't know. I mean, it would be a long journey, that's for sure.
Okay, now hang on. Let's just be generous with it.
Sure.
And we'll say one in a trillion.
Okay.
Now, compound that with what would be the probability of the same thing happening with another organism at the same time. So that you have a male and a female that appear at the same spot on the planet at the same time, so that there can be a continuation of that race.
Okay, that's a tough one because, to be quite honest, when you start from scratch, that's a pretty rough one. I mean, it's a rocket have hit here for all I know. That had some bacteria on it from another planet.
Yeah, but the point is that evolution would have had to have worked in lockstep time-wise in order to have produced the first male and the first female humans, and it would have had to have worked precisely in the same geographical area in lockstep so that these two people wind up next to each other.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're saying. The male and female aspect makes it a little bit difficult to comprehend it because it makes it a lot more of an advanced field, that's for sure. Once you introduce male and female, that's a little bit different. But, you know, even, you know, birds and bees and stuff have male and female, and I believe you can make a bird out of a bug over a million years.
Hundreds
of millions of years. But,
the operative word, word is you believe.
It's possible.
Yeah, and this is why I say the whole debate about evolution and creation is not a debate between science and religion. It's a debate between two opposing religions.
I saw some of your video of the gods in the garden. It was so awesome, you know. I personally did not have the money right now to be able to watch the seminar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just really behind right now, and I cut in a lot of areas just for, you know, a while sometimes when you have droughts or something like that. But I'm still a member. I always do my minimal because I believe it's important to keep the show going because it really makes me angry when people think that they can tell us that we can't think.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I think that this is an amazing show, you know. But
and listen, let me say again, never be afraid to call in and voice your thoughts or opinions on this show, because that's what this show is all about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? I get worried, Kevin. I get worried, you know, evolution-wise and stuff, we're taking over the planet. I mean, that's a fact, right? I mean, obviously all these animals and stuff aren't winning. Evolutionary-wise, humans are becoming widespread. I get worried sometimes that there's evolution within the universe, you know, because they always talk about, you know, you see these different animals and stuff that didn't make it because they weren't smart enough. You know, a dinosaur brain wasn't as smart as a bird's brain nowadays in certain areas because it had that primal type thing. Sometimes I wonder, if there's evolution in the universe, what makes us think that we might not get knocked off too? You never know.
You know, maybe we've been knocked off before.
That's what I was thinking, Kevin. Mm-hmm. I was thinking that, you know, they call it, like, you know, evolutionary bush and stuff like that, but nobody knows what happened. And what if we came and went, like, six different times, and there are different kinds of almost species from half-monkey, half-human states and stuff like that? I mean, we don't really know anything besides what we find.
That's
so you're
true.
Saying, like, from an evidence point, and until we find some more conclusion and stuff, we really don't know.
Well, one thing we do have some human fossils from 280 million years ago, and they're definitely human. They are not a mixture of human and something else. And
I think the elements must have been really hard on us starting out.
Well, if we were around 280 million years ago, Darwin was wrong. Hey, we got a break. It's already taking over. But thank you for the call. Always interesting to talk with you, Bob. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is open line tonight, and as you hear, as you have heard, you don't have to agree with me when you call in. State your case. State your opinion. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-544. I'm sorry, 623-444-5889. Yeah, look, the whole deal with the seminar is not that I'm going to try and teach you the truth about where we came from. I think anybody that presumes to do that is presumptuous. I just don't think, I wasn't there when the origin of everything happened. You weren't there. Darwin wasn't there. Nobody was there when the origin of it all happened. The purpose of the seminar is to open your mind to some information a lot of you carry with you all the time. I know lots of people that carry a Bible with them all the time. I know a lot of people that they don't carry the Bible with them all the time, but they read it all the time, and they're very dedicated, very sincere in their beliefs, and have no idea. They think they know what the creation story is that's in Genesis. They have no idea. That creation story that is in Genesis will blow your mind. It is absolutely fantastically different from the creation story that you've been told. And, you know, the one I grew up with. And so what we're doing is we're taking a look at what it says. Because, look, what it says is really, really sci-fi. And by sci-fi, I don't mean it is sci-fi. I mean it's just that you would expect to see this in a movie. It's just phenomenal. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Ron. I'm from Maryland. I'm also on your answering machine, so you don't have to call me back.
Okay? All right.
I didn't mean to call so much, but your show is getting so popular now, I can't get through.
It is difficult to get through. Yeah.
I wanted to talk to you about this guy. Okay. It's about Mars. You remember when the spirit took that picture of that little statue on Mars?
Yeah, the Spirit Rover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Well, they got this guy on something politics. What do you call it?
Exopolitics.
Yeah, radio. Mm-hmm. His name is Andrew. I think his name is Abasto. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm familiar with the radio show.
Yeah, well, he's got pictures. He's got pictures of what happened is the I'm getting feedback, so I'm trying to ignore it. When he took that picture, it's supposed to be really a great distance, but they compacted it. NASA compacted that picture. Okay,
mm-hmm.
He was able to spread it out more and see more living, not just statues, but more living creatures. And if you go to that, like later on when your show's over with, if you go to that and you listen to them, they'll talk about the animal life. I'll show you pictures of some of it. Okay,
mm-hmm.
He'll show you the pictures of some of the human-like things that he saw that aren't statues. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a book on it, and he's got a certain kind of computer that can pick these things out. He also will show you hybrids of alien insects, and this sounds kind of strange, but he had a picture of it, of an insect on its back with the head of a humanoid.
Hmm.
So it's really weird. I tried to email you that, you'll hear him talking, and he's wrote books on it now, and I thought you might just want to know that.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Now, you saw these photos?
Yeah, it'll show you underneath of it. It'll show you a photo underneath some of the talks that he's given.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also go to Adobe Reader, and he'll have pictures of them of these different creatures and stuff. Okay.
Are the pictures pretty clear? Can you see them clearly?
Yeah, the bee one I could see real clear, but the alien head looked like you could see clear through it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
With the bee on its back, you saw very good. You also saw a dinosaur. You know, like, remember, you ever see that picture that woman took of the dinosaur in the water?
Yeah.
I think it's of the Canadian, of Canada someplace.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of looks like that. Because evidently there's water down in this, I think that spirit was on like a top of a plateau. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's water down below, and supposedly, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been trying to get a hold of you because it's really interesting, and I would like you to listen to it and maybe let your audience know what you think of it. Okay?
Yeah, I will take a look at it. Let me ask you something.
Radio.com.
Okay. Let me ask you something before you go. What did you say your first name is?
Ron from Maryland. I haven't called you for a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Okay. Yeah, listen, when I talked to you, about that giant eagle you saw, remember?
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, thanks for the call. Very interesting.
Okay, take care.
All right. Telephone number is 623 444-5889, 623-444-5889. And if you have a question of me, or if you have a comment that you would like to make about any show that we've done, or you've run across information somewhere, like some of the callers tonight already, that's the number to call. Let's talk about it. It is open line tonight. The absence of evidence, we brought that up when I was talking with Bob from California. The absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. And, you know, sometimes what happens is whenever I talk about the fact that they've never found a single trans-species fossil that's moving from one species to another, okay, moving from a reptile to a mammal of some type. They've never found any trans-species fossils. Okay, that doesn't mean that those don't exist. Sometimes when I say that, you know, that they've never found them, people jump to that conclusion. Those fossils may indeed exist, but so far, we haven't found them. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello?
Yes, you're live on the air. What's your first name?
Hi. I'm Leah Westphal.
Well, let's play some applause for you, Leah. Yeah, you won the tapestry.
Yes, I can't believe it. I didn't believe it until I hit about the fourth time I heard my name.
Yeah. Yeah, I would hold it up where you could see it again, but it's across the studio on the table next to the printer, and I can't go over there and get it right now.
I have a hard time watching the stream. Sometimes it comes in and sometimes it don't.
Well, listen, let me ask you to do something.
On audio.
Yeah, let me ask you to do something. Send me an email with the address you want this shipped to. Okay, so just put the address you want me to send the tapestry to, and I will send it.
All right. Okay, just get the email off the net.
Just go to my website and click on where it says on the menu, it says contact us, and use the contact form. If you don't use the contact form, the chances of your email getting through all our spam filters is very slim. If you use the contact form, your email will get through to me.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
I can't believe I've never won anything in my life.
Well, you have now. You have now. Yeah, and it's look, when you see this thing in person, I think you're going to be impressed with it. It's hand woven. It's wool. It's hand woven, and it's really intricate artwork. It's really nice.
Well, actually, when I was first advertised, when you guys said, I'm going to win it, I got to because I had one of my first out-of-body experiences, I went to Peru.
Oh, you did. Now, have you been to Machu Picchu?
No, only in my dreams.
Only in your dreams. When you were in Peru, did you ever go over to Urcos Island?
Well, actually, like I said, I had an out-of-body experience there. But
oh, I see.
As far as I couldn't say exactly where I was.
Uh-huh. Well, this is from an island.
I can't afford to go there, but I've been getting these symbol things going on, and I'd really like to understand it.
Well,
it tickles me pink. I can't believe this.
Well, I am glad you called in, and you need to believe it. You won it.
Wow.
You won it. In fact, I don't know if you're able to see right now, if you can see if your video is working, but if it is... Now, there's a little bit of a delay, so you'll hear me over the phone, and then you'll see it on your screen. I'm holding up the slip of paper that we drew out of the box. It's got your name on it. All right?
Okay.
Yep, that's it. All right, listen, Leah, we are into a break. I got to run. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you. I can't believe it. And thank Kathy for picking my name.
Well, you're the winner. Congratulations. All right, folks, we'll be back. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is Open Line Live tonight, so we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. And that was pretty cool, wasn't it? Leah Westfall, that won the tapestry that we had the drawing for last night, just called in. Congratulations again, Leah. And, you know, it's just one of the cool benefits of being a member at the Kevin Smith Show. And there are others. There are discounts on things that we do. And we've got more coming, too. So it's a good place to be in the members area. I was saying that the absence of the evidence doesn't mean evidence of absence. In other words, just because we have not found a trans species fossil doesn't mean one could not be found somewhere. Do I think they will find one? No, I don't think so. But there are people that will say, aha, you see, there's proof right there. There's absolute proof right there that creation is true. And they're talking about the standard story of creation that you hear, you know, in Sunday school. And I don't belittle Sunday school, and I don't belittle that story of creation. However, I will tell you that that story of creation is not the one that's in Genesis. But they say, you see, there's the proof. There's the proof. There's no trans species fossils, so that proves creation. It doesn't prove anything except that we don't have fossils that are trans species. We don't have them in our possession. We haven't found any. after all these years of digging, do I think that they are going to find trans species fossils? No, I don't. I think it's interesting that when they have found fossilized or petrified bones of humans that were giants, those have been hustled away, hidden away, or destroyed. And I think it's interesting because I think that proves something. I think it does prove something. I think it does prove that the Darwinian story of evolution ain't so. It's not true. It's fiction. Are there other theories of evolution besides Darwin's? Yes, there are. Instead of it being a tree like Darwin pictured it, some people, as Bob mentioned, some people picture it more like a bush, a scrub bush, and just all kinds of bits of evolution were happening everywhere instead of one species forming another, which forms another and another, and branching out that way all the way from one original cell. Darwin's story, I think, pretty well can be discounted. You can give Darwin credit for noticing that what he observed didn't fit with the stories he had heard. But the fossil record doesn't support him. Now, what does that have to do? It does have something to do, by the way, with UFOs. What does it have to do with UFOs? Well, there are people who say that there is an absence of evidence for UFOs. I think that is just ridiculous. I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous. But, and it certainly is not a fact. There's just mountains of evidence for the existence of unidentified flying objects. But there are people that on one end of the spectrum say, aha, you see, it's extraterrestrials. And there are other people that say, oh, no, that's just swamp gas or Chinese wedding balloons. And, you know, so you get these people on both ends of the spectrum. Well, Paul Hellyer used to be the Minister of Defense for the great nation of Canada. And he says that the evidence, he has made this statement publicly several times, that the evidence for the reality of the existence of UFOs is irrefutable. Now, this is not Kevin Smith, the talk show host, telling this or saying this. I'm just recounting it for you. Paul Hellyer, who was the Minister of Defense of one of the major nations on this planet, says that the evidence for the existence and reality of UFOs is irrefutable. He said something else about that that fits with what we were talking about with the absence of evidence in the fossil record, and I'll tell you in just a moment. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, good evening, Kevin. This is Kevin from Northern Alberta calling.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, great show tonight. Controversial, just the way we like it.
Yeah.
I was wondering, have you ever read the book, The Greatest Deception, The Bible, UFO Connection, The True Nature of the Gods of the Bible by Patrick Cook?
Yes, I have.
What did you think of it?
I found it to be very, very interesting. Like almost everything that you're going to read, you're going to find things. I found things in there where I said, well, I think he missed that, but overall, I think it was a great book. If you read my book, obviously everything in my book I agree with, because that's why it's in my book, because that's what I think. But I don't expect anyone else to read my book and say that they agree with all of it.
No, of course not.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was 457 pages. I read it about 2 or 3 years ago, and I just found it again. And I thought it might fit in good with tonight's topic.
Yeah, and look, there are lots of sources of information that are outside of the Bible that talk about the same things that you read about in the Bible. And some people totally discount those. If they're particularly religious, really religious, they'll discount those others, and they'll say, "Oh no, that's not in the Bible, so it can't be real." Well, Jesus himself quoted from some of those sources. His quotes are in the Bible. He quoted from some of those sources, and yet those sources didn't make the final cut when they were deciding what books to put in the Bible.
Well,
so
that's right. It was censored. And you're right. Like, there are sources older than the Bible. For example, the Indian, what are they called, writings with the Vinamas or whatever they called them?
Yeah. Uh-huh. You're talking about the flying spaceships or airships?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Vimanas.
Right. And one more thing, like, how could we come out of the Stone Age, and this is a little bit off topic, and all of a sudden create wonderful monoliths like the pyramids and so on?
Well, certainly, we didn't do it with the technology that modern archaeologists and paleontologists tell us that existed at that time. The tools that existed at the time they say that those pyramids were built will not cut granite.
No, they won't. Believe me, I know that. I work with hard stone. I'm looking forward to the seminar. I'm signed up, and can't wait.
Good deal.
Okay.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Kevin. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. All right, folks. 623-444-5889. So what's the connection between the fossils and UFOs? Well, Paul Hellyer addressed that whole issue recently, about when people say, well, you know, I haven't ever actually seen a UFO, and until I see one, I'm not going to believe in them. Good choice. You shouldn't believe in UFOs any more than you believe in this pen I'm holding up. It either exists or it doesn't. There's nothing to believe. All right? Here's what he says. I haven't seen the Taj Mahal either. but I know it exists. Good point, Paul Hillier. Let's go to the telephone, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Okay, not there. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Just because you haven't seen a particular thing doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I've used this example on the show before. I'll use it again. When I was in East Timor, back when I was still working as international police, and I was stationed in East Timor, a great number of the automobiles that were being used by the police and were assigned to us to use is an automobile from India called a Tata. Now, you get back to the United States or you get back to Canada or Australia or Great Britain and or Germany, and you start talking about that you drove an automobile called a Tata. They laugh at you. They think that's a joke. Not a joke. It's a major automobile company in India. Just because you never saw one doesn't mean they don't exist. I've driven them. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Rick from Kentucky, Kevin.
Hi, Rick.
How you doing tonight, Kevin?
Good.
I believe the Darwinism theory, like you say, is pretty much dead. I think where our intelligence came from on this planet was from other planets and from other extraterrestrials, maybe even hundreds of different types of extraterrestrials. And I think that's where we came from eventually.
Well, it could be. And, you know, but look, Rick, even if you take that standard story of creation that everybody has heard all their life, you take that story and you have God, the main character in that story, you have God creating everything, and he creates man, and according to that story, the first man and the first woman were Adam and Eve, according to the story, okay?
Yes.
You still have, that is extraterrestrial intervention. Now, look, when I put that in my book, and, you know, the next day after I published the book, I don't know if you were listening to the show back then or not, but we took pre-publication orders for the book, and we shipped them all out. And then announced after we shipped them that they had been shipped. And the next day, some of the people had their books. And I came to the computer, and my email inbox was on fire.
I'm sure it was.
Because I made the statement in my book that I just made here that, you know, you've got God in that story. Well, that's an extraterrestrial, whatever else you think about him, because he's not from here. According to that story, according to the standard creation story, God is not from Earth. That makes God an extraterrestrial.
Try to keep an open mind for all of it. I do believe there is probably a supreme being, but I don't believe everything in the Bible. I don't believe all of Darwinism. I think the... Like you said, in Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the universe, in my opinion.
That's true. But then you got to do the seminar, because even that statement right there will absolutely blow your mind.
I'm signed up.
Okay. The first bombshell in that seminar is from the first verse of the Genesis story. It is a bombshell. Hey, thanks for the call, man.
Okay, looking forward to the seminar.
Outstanding, thank you. All right, folks, 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Paul Hillier said You know, I've never seen the Taj Mahal, but I know it exists. And I think a lot of you, for instance, if you live in Canada or if you live in the United States, Mexico, Chile, Brazil, Argentina, we have listeners in all that area. Maybe you've never been to Paris and personally seen the Eiffel Tower. But is there any doubt in your mind that it exists? No. Why? Because you've seen pictures of it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, this is Derek from Idaho.
Hi, Derek.
How are you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for asking.
All right. You have an awesome show as usual, and I just want to thank you for standing up for rights and for the Constitution, and I'd recommend your show to anybody.
Well, thank you, Derek. You know, it's becoming... I think it's becoming a sort of a rare thing for people in the United States to stick up for the Constitution and to stick up for their constitutional rights. But it boils down, Derek, to use them or lose them.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
Hey, Kevin, I have a couple comments. Basically, I'd like to give an opinion of my own, if that's possible.
Absolutely, on this show.
Okay. I believe in creation.
Okay.
I do believe that many of the church leaders throughout history has left a lot out. The way I look at it, I've studied the scriptures quite a bit, and I've noticed that there's a lot of things that they tend to leave out, especially about the Nephilim and... you know, even the dinosaurs, that's a touchy subject for a lot of people. But I do believe that dinosaurs walked with man.
Well, you know, we've found fossilized footprints of humans right along fossilized footprints of dinosaurs. And they're not all that rare. I mean, they're scattered around all over the earth. Those have been found. And, you know, how did the human's footprint get there next to the dinosaur's footprint? Somebody was chasing somebody.
Right. And what I find fascinating is that in, like, for instance, Acambro, New Mexico, that's if I'm saying that name right, Acambro, I believe, they found, I think it's 50,000 or 75,000. I read it a long time ago, so I don't remember if the number's right. However, they found a whole bunch of figurines of dinosaurs with people riding on them and a whole bunch of stuff like that. Dinosaurs is some that we haven't even seen yet.
And yeah, they're called the Ica stones, I-C-A. It's the Ica stones is what they're called. And you're precisely right. There are figures of dinosaurs, some that we don't recognize, but some that we do. For instance, a Stegosaurus. And you know, and it shows the carving of the Stegosaurus on the pottery or on the stone, and a carving of a human as well. Well, even if you didn't have a human, you got to ask yourself, how did these ancient people who lived down in South America, how did they know what a dinosaur looked like unless they had seen one?
Exactly.
Yeah, they had to have seen it.
You know, another thing, too, is even the unicorn. I know I might irritate a few of the listeners here with this, but I even was going to write a mini-book on this. Basically, I don't know if you've heard of the Elasmotherium.
No.
Okay, basically what that is similar to a rhinoceros. It's in the same family. However, its horn is not on its nose. It is directly mounted right to its right between its eyes, and where it would be mounted at is solid bone.
Mm-hmm.
And this bone would have been roughly, the horn itself would have been roughly probably 6 to 7 feet long. And I have been privileged to have a couple photos of some skeletons that are pretty fascinating to look at. And
Do you have those photos in digital format? Could you email me a photo of one of those?
Yes, I can email you one of them because I'd have to scan it in, but I could definitely email that to you.
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
And I could just write to you a little bit also about some of the things that I found regarding it. But it's fascinating.
Yeah, please do. That's something I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, because the structure of a horse's head, just if it had a horn, according to the scripture, see. In Job 39:10, for instance, it mentions about the unicorn.
Yep.
And it talks about his strength is great and everything. And many people thought it was the ox, and also, I can't remember the other name of the, it's like a bull, but it's not that. It perfectly fits this creature right to the teeth.
I
talked about it. Many of the historians have talked about this creature.
Well, I anxiously await the arrival of the photo. I would love to see it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right. 623-444-5889. Yeah, if you've got any kind of information like that, be sure you load me up with it. I depend upon our audience. I depend upon you more than you may realize. Because you send me emails suggesting various people to have as guests. And those of you who have sent suggestions know I can't get all of them. Sometimes it's because of their schedule. But I get as many of them as I can. And we have them here on the show as guests. Information like what we just heard. That's something I had not run across. And how do I get that information? Well, you educate me. And then after we pile up a bunch of information about something, we do a show. And I try to find someone that's an expert in it to come on and talk to us. So that's the way it works. And, please do. If there's information that's strange and unexplained like that, load me up with it. I read it all. But do use the contact page, because if you don't use the contact page, I get sometimes 2,000 emails in a day. But a whole lot of that, in fact, the majority of it, is spam email. And so we have some really vigorous filters that just toss email, all right, so that I never even see it. If you use the contact page, it doesn't get tossed. It comes straight to my inbox, all right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show, and let me ask you this. We have a break coming up. Do you want to hang on through the break?
No, I'll wait and let somebody else talk.
Okay.
Money.
All right. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. We've got this break coming up in about 20 seconds here. All right. When we come back from the break, we'll continue taking your telephone calls. And we'll continue open line. We'll talk about whatever is on your mind, all right? We'll be back right after this. The telephone lines are open. It is Open Line Live tonight. That means we'll talk about whatever is on your mind, except for politics. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. And for those of you, normally I announce this several times during the show. I haven't tonight, but it's always true. If you live outside of the United States or you live outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message, and you do that by going to my website. Just go over to kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, and you'll see a link. It's green, and it says flash message, all right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Clay from Arkansas.
Clay, it's been a while.
Well, anyway, Darren's theory was right up to a certain.
Up to a certain point. Yeah.
Okay. You're.
Yeah, we know you're getting
a little
an echo.
Low on your voice.
Yeah.
Okay. Darren's theory was right up to a certain point. Aliens came down and they done genetic experiments. Are you getting all this?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Darren's theory was right up to a certain point. The Ice Age, okay, Neanderthal man and humans walked together for mm-hmm. such a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
The aliens had to, they done genetic experiments. Basically, they tinkered. And Neanderthal man just basically died out. Now, there's natural evolution of monkeys. They went through different ways, but man, the Neanderthal man died out, basically, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all.
All right.
I'm having trouble understanding you on the other end, too.
Okay. Well, thank you for the call, and I'll comment, and you can listen on your radio or your computer. Thanks for the call, Clay. All right. One of the interesting things about Neanderthals and us, I see, according to Darwin, Neanderthal is one of our ancestors. But we now know for sure that isn't true because of genetics. Working on the Human Genome Project provided tremendous information about our own genetic makeup. They now have also done the Neanderthal genome, and we're not in the same gene pool. They were a human race, but not related to us. Not at all. Not related to us. And so When Neanderthals were walking the earth, so were us. Bad English, I know, but you get the idea. And there's no evidence that they ever intermarried or mixed. Could have happened, but there's no evidence of it. What there is evidence of is genetic evidence that shows the Neanderthal were a human race, but not they were not us. Pardon me, I keep having to turn this mic off and cough. And I apologize for that, but I am in Arizona, and it is this stuff in the air this time of the year. It is horrendous. And a lot of dust in the air this time of the year as well. All right, the telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. Even the music tonight is music suggested by one of you. When I tell you, you hear it on other shows, but when I tell you that you are what this is all about, it's the truth. The topics that we talk about, the guests that we have, the information we present, and even the music is suggested by you. And we'll talk about whatever is on your mind tonight. The absence of evidence is certainly not evidence of absence, is it? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Lynn in California.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi. I have a question that's kind of related.
Okay.
Project Serpo, I was wondering if you believed in that actually happening, that earthly human and Zeta alien exchange.
Let me tell you, of course, you've been listening to the show for a long time, and you know I say I don't believe anything.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Well, let me tell you what the information that I have on Project Serpo. The information that I have been told, and this is not inside information, it actually has been said by various guests on the show, but the information is that there was an exchange, and that it was not called Project Serpo at the time. It had a different name, but there was an exchange. There are some different numbers involved in how many people went and how many came back. However, I was told that up into the, I believe it was the 1990s, there were two of them still surviving, still living.
Mm-hmm.
And so do I think it happened? Well, the emotional side of me says that's science fiction. The rational side of me says someone who has tremendous credentials related to that sort of information told me that the exchange happened.
Okay. I'm signed up for your seminar, and I do have a lot of your beliefs, but there was one thing that they showed a picture of. It was a plant and insect crossbreed.
Yeah.
When they went back in time, that's the closest thing to proof of life form change that I've seen.
All right, who showed that?
Bill Ryan, I think, was. I'm not sure who showed it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is we don't have a fossil record of that.
No. These were just photographs taken. Mm-hmm. They had some dinosaurs in there and supposedly a picture of an alien along with the human and such. But that's the only thing that I've seen that was any kind of proof.
Well, now, there are hybrids living on this planet right now that we created. There are mice that have more than 50% human brain cells. Are you aware of that?
No.
They are hybrid mice, and they were genetically altered and given some human brain cells and genetically altered so that those brain cells would form and be their brain as they were developing as embryos.
That's kind of scary.
And they have more than 50% human brain cells.
Wow.
But here's the thing. The kicker is it wasn't evolution. It was intervention.
Ah.
We did it. Okay?
I see. Yeah.
And so I think when we find hybrids, we're probably not looking at, if we ever do find hybrids, that are somewhat cross species. I don't think we're looking at evolution. I think we're looking at intervention.
Yeah, genetic change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, folks. Weird stuff, huh? You knew about the mice, though, right? I mean, you read about that. I talked about that. Well, it's been a while. I think it was 3 or 4 years ago when they got the approval to do those experiments. And I think, I may be wrong, but I think it was in the UK. It might have been here in the United States, but I think it was in the UK. And there was all this ethics debate about it because, you know, what if they start showing human characteristics and personality and so forth? Well, the license, I guess you could call it, from the government to do this experiment said that at the very first signs that they were showing any type of human cognitive ability, they had to be destroyed. I don't know if they were destroyed. That I don't know. But I remember the experiment because I talked about it here on the show, and I talked about that as being Frankenstein science. And I think it is. I think it is Frankenstein science. And it's not the type of science when I look at it, you may have a different opinion. When I look at that, I see absolutely no redeeming social value to it whatsoever. And I don't think we ought to be doing it. But, yeah, more than 50% human brain cells in the heads of some mice. It gives a whole new twist to the question, doesn't it? Are you a mouse? Are you a mouse or a man? Are you a man or a mouse? Those creatures could just say, yes. Oh, my, my, my. All right. 623-444-5889. Lots of weird stuff happening all over the world, right? And whatever you've come across that you just want to talk about, pick up the phone and give me a call, and let's talk about it. Or you can send me a flash message. Let me check those really quickly. Let's see here. I don't see any other flash messages that have come in. But you can send me one. If you're outside of the United States or you're outside of Canada, then you can send me a flash message. It'll get to me, okay? All right. I told you about an asteroid that flew very, very close. Not an asteroid. Yeah, I guess it was an asteroid. Flew very, very close to the Earth on Monday. It was at about 8:40 in the morning, Eastern Standard Time. So you can calculate from that your place on the Earth, what time would it have been? It was early in the morning here, the size of a 10-story building. I'll talk about that a little bit when we come back. Don't go away. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is open line. We are on final approach, but that means we have time for one or two more calls. This asteroid that streaked past the Earth was pretty close. It's not the closest one. It's not the closest one that we've experienced, but it was pretty close. 44,000 miles away, one-fifth of the distance between here and the moon. That's close. That is very, very close. Now, what's disturbing about this is they didn't see it, they didn't discover it, until Saturday. And Monday, it goes streaking past us. Now, the good news is it went past us. The bad news is it's a 10-story building coming at the Earth, and nobody saw it till Saturday. That's a little bit disturbing. Of course, on the other hand, the truth is, even if you knew it was coming, and if you knew it was going to hit the Earth, where are you going to go? There's no place to go. There's no getting off the Earth. So, but still, you know, you would like to think if there is one incoming that is going to hit the Earth, that they would find it in a little bit more lead, with a little bit more lead time than from Saturday till Monday, don't you think? Maybe, I mean, like if they knew it was coming like 6 months ago or 3 months ago, 2 months, a month ago, if they knew it was coming, there might be the opportunity, something no bigger than the size of a 10-story building. I mean, that's big, but still, something that size, you might have an opportunity to do something to sort of push it away from us, even just a little bit. This was a little bit bigger than the one that they think hit Tunguska. Tunguska was in 1908. In 1908, there was an incoming asteroid, a big chunk of rock, and they think, well, this is all speculation, that, I mean, they don't know, but they think there was an incoming asteroid, and they think that it exploded before it hit the ground from the superheating that it was getting as it fell through the atmosphere. And it looks like an atomic bomb went off in Tunguska. People for hundreds of miles around heard this thunderous explosion. People for hundreds of miles around saw the bright flash of light, as you would expect with a nuclear weapon. However, they haven't found any pieces of this rock. They haven't found, there's no indication that it was a nuclear weapon. And of course, in 1908, we don't think anybody had any nuclear weapons. Now, just about everybody's got them. But in 1908, we think nobody had them. So, what was it at Tunguska? We don't know. We really just don't know. But whatever it was, they're estimating that it was just a tad smaller than this asteroid that streaked past us on Monday. Now, just a few weeks ago, there was a Russian satellite the size of a bus that crashed into an Iridium satellite, communication satellite. And that was big, big news. And the story from the Pentagon was nobody thought that was going to happen. Nobody expected it to happen. It was a totally unexpected event. So, again, I'm asking, is nobody watching? Are we asleep at the switch here? What's going on? Why, when we've got these organizations, we've got these agencies that are scanning the space around Earth, and they are monitoring space junk down to 4 inches. They're monitoring it down to 4 inches in length. So if you've got a piece of space junk that's 4 inches long, and that's about 4 inches right there. That's about 4 inches. And if they're monitoring that, how do you miss a satellite the size of a bus? How do you miss an incoming asteroid the size of a 10-story building? I know it sounds like I'm being critical of them. I'm not. I'm asking, how does that happen? I don't understand how that happens. I would think if you can monitor something that's no longer than 4 inches and you're monitoring thousands of pieces of space junk, I would think you could see something the size of a bus coming. And I would think you could see a 10-story building coming. So I don't understand how we didn't see it. Now, with the asteroid, there is the possibility, and nobody's talking about this yet, there is the possibility that it was coming from the direction of the sun, so that, you know, everything, all the telescopes and everything would be looking into the sun. But radar should have seen it coming. Infrared scans should have seen it coming. What's the story here? I don't want to be hit by a 10-story building. I'm not sure that there's anything we could do if we knew one was coming, if we knew that it was going to strike the Earth. I'm not sure there's anything we could do. But for sure, there's not anything you can do if you find out on Saturday and it's here on Monday. You got to find out sooner than that. And ladies and gentlemen, that's another reason that I say they ought to increase NASA's budget by double. They ought to double it. Give them the money that it takes to really do the job, and then hold them accountable and tell them, all right, guys and gals, let's get on with this. Let's quit playing around here. Let's make this happen. If you at least double the budget, for NASA. You would not even have begun to reach a minuscule amount of what has been spent in the last 2 months on the various bailouts. Double their budget, and then let's get serious about the science. Let's get on with this. Someone needs to be seriously watching those skies out there. Somebody needs to be watching for buses and 10-story buildings. And I think that's a good place to put the money and expect for it to be done. Tell them to do it and expect for it to be done. After all, they are in the space business. And I think if anybody knows how, or knows how we could get to the point where we could do it, it would be NASA. So I get frustrated with them sometimes, especially when you look at the pictures that they've airbrushed stuff out, and there's no question they've airbrushed stuff. I get frustrated with it, and I call their hand on it, but I don't want to see the destruction of NASA. I want to see NASA get their budget doubled. If they need to reorganize, reorganize. If you need to go through NASA like Drano through a drain, do it. But let's get it up and running and working and not just hobbled and feebly trying to stay in business as they have been. All right, that's the end of the show for tonight, but certainly not for the week. We've got more coming. I want to thank everyone who called in tonight. Thanks for the calls. And I really, really enjoy when we get to do open line. All right. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.